hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And I'm Julie.
Hi there, Julie. Guess what I am?
You're Christine. And what do you used to say in the past around here?
Around here, they call me Mama.
It is so great.
Who's the man that shot my pa?
Well, mostly we came up with that name for you because back in the day, we used to love listening to Chicago, the soundtrack.
And yes.
Queen Latifah in her Mama role.
Yes.
You know, you're just like, I am going to personify her. I'm going to just get into that, and that's who I'm going to be, and that's my...
If you ain't pleasing Mama, Mama ain't pleasing you. What was that song that was so good? Reciprocity.
Yes, exactly.
Reciprocity.
And like, you give me a hand up, and I'll give one up right up yours, or
that's the line. That's right.
But I have had such a great week this week. Here we are. 2 days before the election, you voted early. So
excuse me, I voted Hurley.
Hurley.
not that I'm giving anything away.
No, don't want to influence anybody.
Yeah, I don't want to influence all you people out there, but I did vote Hurley.
I also want to say, I sometimes just jump ahead in our show and go right into it because this is a favorite.
You never even said that. This is Life with the Girlfriends.
It's Life with the Girlfriends. We're Christine, Marie, and Julie. Mom's here, psychotherapist, a life coach. We create product. We love to help. We love to inspire. And I'm a teacher getting her master's.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thanks.
You're cracking do you crack the midnight oil or what do you do? You burn the midnight oil.
Like crack
and
the unfortunately, books. The Cubs in the World Series, I kind of burned less that oil for my schooling and more for the Cubs.
Cubs win.
And it has just been literally an awesome week.
It was so cute. We have a little baby in our inner circle. I guess it's maybe not our inner circle, but our first tier out.
My inner circle, your first tier out.
Jack, and he's like 3 months old or whatever. Yeah. And we had a picture of him, and he has a little. He's got a picture that says Cubs win, and we put it on Facebook, and we said Cubs win, and we put it in quotes.
I waited my whole life for this.
Love Jack, you know.
and that's the thing. I mean, in this area where it's been over 100 years,
1908.
I mean, 108 years.
Now it's just been like 6 days.
Yes. And 5 million people showed up for the parade in Chicago.
It was awesome. It really was.
Yeah,
awesome.
We saw it on
it was
TV.
Jaw dropping.
Yeah,
awesome.
Wasn't going to be there. I would have loved to have been there, but I just would have committed to saying, no. "I'm there until Sunday because that's when I'm going to be able to leave Chicago."
Yeah. Well, as people who really know Chicago, I mean, you know, not only do we know we used to travel there a lot of times, you know not to go down on days like that unless you're going, like you said, traveling and you're, you know, spending 2-3 days there.
Yeah, because also it's just a beautiful day.
Yes, the gods, the weather gods, you know, came out for the Cubbies,
and it was a beautiful day in Chicago. And it was interesting because they won on a Wednesday night, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then the parade was on Friday.
Yes.
And it happened so fast, but from what I understand, the Cubbies won it on Friday because the kids were naturally off of school for a teacher conferences or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey, the kids are going to be off school this day. Mm-hmm. Let's just have it on
Yeah, because I know they wanted it to be on Monday.
Yeah.
And it just worked out so lovely. So lovely.
And Quinner's... faux stepdaughter, she said she had got a job in Chicago and it was her first week. And I asked her, are you going to go? And she goes, no, but all the supervisors are gone. they're there, but I'm just a newbie and I have to stay at work and work.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm sure she worked.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. But it was it was inspirational. And so today we're going to talk about the Cubs.
Yes.
We're going to talk about how exciting it's been.
Even if you're not a baseball fan, you will appreciate our take on the Cubbies win.
Yes, and because it's all about inspiration, motivation, and getting and kind of feeling sometimes you just need to have your wick lit in some sense, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And it also sounds a little obscene, but Mind if I light your wick?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, however, whatever floats your boat. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's a little bit better.
and then I want to talk about a little bit of the election, since we're getting up to.
By the next time that we talk, do our podcast,
we will
know who is the new POTUS.
Yes.
And the new FLOTUS.
Exactly. Our MODUS.
Dirty
MODUS.
what's MODUS?
FLOTUS. Well, it's first lady, first man, MODUS, right? Because FLOTUS is first lady.
Right.
So what would, if
I think it's FGOTUS, like first gentleman, they're going to say.
Oh, FGOTUS.
FGOTUS.
Guzak.
Jean Cusack. Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam. I don't know why I'm saying
Bill Murray.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're just naming celebrities who go to the Cubs game.
Yes, that's
and
right.
I was getting a little tired of seeing them but it was sweet. You could just realize there's a crowd.
Right.
There they are.
And they're always there's a story of the 85-year-old lady who just wants to stay alive until to see her Cubbies win, which is kind of interesting because at this moment, as we speak,
I know
Julie's guy Doug, his mom is really
transitioning.
She is transitioning.
Yeah.
She's at home, but she's transitioning. And there's how many kids are there? Like 8 or 9 or 10? I don't know.
No, 6.
Like, all right, but there's a lot of them. But Deb, who's the oldest, is
and
a nurse, and she's been living there for the last I don't know how many months to take care of Grammy.
Right.
You know, and word came out on Friday that, you know, she wasn't doing too good. But, I mean, we've had times like this before, but this one, Deb, you know, called Julie and said, and Deb's been a nurse for how many years? 40 years?
Yeah,
I mean, a long, long time. And she said, Julie, you brought over some carrot cake muffins for the family. But she said, Julie, I heard the knock at the door.
Right.
And she said, you know, I've been a nurse, you know, all these years, and whenever I hear the knock, I know that within 3 days,
right,
somebody dies, and it's usually when I hear the knock, it's the person whose room I'm in,
right,
at the time. And she said, I heard the knock at the door, and so basically the whole family's been called in. Beth's come from Tennessee, isn't she?
She hasn't been here yet. She can't come until Tuesday, which probably. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting because. Mm-hmm. It's been a long process, and she's been, I would say that this whole year has been a deterioration in her health.
Correct.
And in the last month, you can tell the tides, you know, it's the process is going. I mean, and it was interesting because in the last two, like she was awake for the Cubs win the World Series.
Yes.
On the Game 7.
Yeah,
she was up.
The whole family is crazy fans. And so she was
tickets,
up.
Huge.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, Doug said
way
to
back
his
when
mom,
he goes, the Cubs in the World Series, Mom. You could, you know, you can feel the let go whenever you want to let go.
Yeah,
and I'm like, don't say that. And then,
but once they won, she really went down.
She really did go
down.
Said
she might have had a little mini stroke, and she totally doesn't speak anymore.
No,
and they heard the knock.
And
so, I mean, there really is that kind of. This is even when the guys talked at the rally that they know. These young little whippersnappers who are in their 20s know that there are these old timers that literally were just holding on to see their Cubbies win the World Series. And you know, when Juanita, Doug's mom, you know, when he said, Mom, it's okay, you can let go, we won the World Series.
Yeah.
She kind of gave a thumbs up, you know, a very
and it's interesting because she represents, and I thought to myself, in some ways, I don't want her to go like this, you know, like the Cubs win and then she lets go. But it's such a romanticized story that is it the cherry on the top of her whole story, or is it?
It is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Because
here she is. She has 6 kids.
I think she's in
pain.
How you told me how she's. How her breathing is,
right.
And she has COPD and a lot of lung issue. So she's on oxygen 24/7. That's not even helping. Hospice is involved now. So I think that it is a, it does romanticize it, but I think it's a nice story. And of the, one of the six kids, or how many kids they have, there's Bob, and he's call him special needs child, but he's like 50.
Yeah.
And and he you went over there last night, and Bob said, Julie, you know, my mom's pretty sick right now, and she's going to go to heaven pretty soon, but she's going to be with my dad. And he said, but I'm staying here in the house, and you're coming to visit me quite a bit.
I'm like, okay.
He has it all planned out.
He does. He was talking to everybody that came over last night, and he was making sure everybody knew, like, I'm staying in the house.
I'm in the house.
You know, Deb's going to still take care of me, and Drina's going to still take care of me, which is the other two sisters.
Yes.
And they're just going to live there part-time, basically. I mean, one's going to, I mean.
The house will be his,
house will be basically his, yes. And he'll have just family members just living there.
But what's really nice is that we've always said about Bob is, I mean, he's really a nice guy.
Yeah.
You can't even,
no,
I mean, you got to be able to talk sports with him, because that's really
right,
what he's.
Right, because it's Cubbies 24/7.
Cubbies.
Bears 24/7.
And whenever I get
Bulls,
Christmas
not
presents.
So much,
right.
Hockey a little bit.
I always give him some kind of Cubs present.
Yeah.
But I lost my train of thought about
that. But everything is so black and white.
Yes, that's what I
want
to say.
I don't want to say buy in.
No, he was.
There's no conflict.
No,
in his heart.
It was just simple.
Yeah,
simple
mom's
trust.
Mom's going to heaven.
Simple
with
faith.
Dad.
They're
going
to be dead with dad now. You know,
and you know, and by the way, I'm staying in the house.
Yeah, but what I know what I want to say. I want to say how lovely, because we used to always like kind of get jealous of his life because it's so structured.
Yes,
and he enjoys every bit of it. Every morning he gets picked up by the bus. And he goes to work.
Yeah,
I think it's work, or you know,
he
does. They do some work, and so he gets paid for that. And then they have he's got like a girlfriend at work, and
yeah, he does. Buys, well, he's got a couple girls he calls his sweeties.
Yeah, and so he takes enough money to buy them a soda
. And his niece
and he goes
and his daughter works there and is a supervisor, and so he feels
like it's home.
Like it's home.
Yeah,
he's got a sweet life.
Yeah, he does. And and he goes to wrestling, which he loves.
Yeah,
and Hulk Hogan. He's a fan of Hulk Hogan's, and the Hulk has put him on Facebook, you know,
and
so he's got a great life,
right?
And I can see why he doesn't want that touched.
No, and Hillary, Doug's daughter, the other daughter who works there, who's a supervisor, she says somebody came up to her and said, "Hey, you know, I hear your mom's not doing her Bob's mom's not doing too well. Do you think Bob would want to live in a
group home?
A group home? We have several that have a space open." And initially, she's like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I've worked in group homes before, and they're excellent. Excellent care. Mm-hmm. And he could survive well in a group and thrive. He could thrive in a group home. Mm-hmm. It's just that he doesn't need to.
Right.
I mean, I don't think he wants to. I think he loves his life.
That's the impression I get.
And he's got so many family members in this town that adore him.
Right.
That plug him in like once a month. Yeah, once a month he goes to wrestling, you know.
And Hillary every Sunday he goes to church.
And so
and he won't miss that.
No,
and then the preacher invites him over for
Super Bowl or football days,
yes,
you know. So
yes.
He has this, hi, Elliot. He's just finding it something outside to bark at. Hey, we got a show going on, kiddo. Stop your barking.
Make sure I bark.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been this World Series experience has been just this wonderful time in our family.
Yes,
because and also you're a baseball fan, but not a huge baseball fan.
No.
And I've been watching it with you, and you've kind of gotten that, you got that spirit, you
got
that
the fever.
And it's been wonderful. And unfortunately, I haven't been studying like I should be,
no.
But oh well.
And now you got to make up for today.
I got to make up for today.
Because tomorrow's deadline day.
Deadline day. And I, no matter what, I'm turning it in. I'm turning my paper in no matter what.
I know we just got a call from your brother, my son.
As I'm texting him.
He wants to see you today.
Yeah, earlier.
So.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, no, I got to study, you know, and so forth. Mm-hmm. But
can I say just a couple of things if you're going to change topic about the rally that we saw on ESPN?
Oh,
for
I was
going
to change topics.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I don't mean to. I just wanted to put my two cents in as opposed to. I wanted to say I think I've got three guys from the Cubs that I think are extremely jumpable.
Okay.
And I just, it's tight. Well, maybe four. I'm trying to pick which one.
Yes.
That I'm, you know.
Okay.
That your mom's going to have to, you know.
Luckily, she's, you know, the ring that she wears for the sanctity of marriage is the only thing that's preventing her from, like, jumping these guys. Should I call you
Anthony
Trump
Rizzo?
Jr.?
Anthony Rizzo.
Yes.
Dave Ross. Mm-hmm. Joe Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Theo Epstein.
Okay, and so you have this huge gamut of age,
yes,
range.
Yes.
And so you're really...
I guess I really don't have to pick one.
No, because you don't. Because really what you're doing is connecting with her spirit.
Yeah, oh, right.
You're connecting with her spirit.
Right.
And like, I would like my spirit to meld with their spirit, and it would
I want a spirit meld.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. In a world where, you know, spirits are loving and, you know, we're just going to have a spirit orgy right here.
Exactly. A spirit-gasm.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Oh, you just call me a fangasm. That's what
yeah.
it is.
Can before we go into the fangasm, mm-hmm. I do want to say one more thing about Doug and his mom. And
sure,
and
I'm
like
sorry.
No. And today, you know, because I got a text for him already saying, you know, we're reading the Bible to her right now. Things are getting, you know, she had a stroke yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we're reading the Bible right now to her. And looks like this is going to be getting close to the end. Mm-hmm. And, the knocking thing, you know, Deb was telling me the story with the knocking, and she wasn't alone. You know, Hillary was with her in Grammy's room when they heard the knocking at the door. Mm-hmm. And Hillary heard it too, and Hillary got up to see who was at the door, and nobody mm-hmm. was there, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, because it was not for, you know. And so that's when Deb says, hey, I know what that means, because this is what, when I'm...
3 days.
Because she works as a nurse in a...
Nursing home.
But a home mostly for the disabled, you know, that maybe have been there for a little longer. They're not just older people. They're wide range of ages and so forth. And so she's heard this. I go, how many times have you heard this, though? And she goes, oh, because... She said many, 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 many times. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what does that mean? Does that mean 4 or 5? Does that mean 100? What does that mean? I want more statistical.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I kind of do, because I'm fascinated with this. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to her about a little bit. I remember being there with Grandma when she passed away. And before Grandma passed away, because there is this... You know it's coming, and if it just doesn't happen like that, there is just this natural progression where the spirit leaves the body. Mm-hmm. And before grandmother officially passed, you know, in the back of my mind, I go, oh, I wonder if, you know, I got my cell phone. Should I take a couple of pictures to see about orbs or whatever? You mm-hmm. know, because like this might be the only time I'm actually with somebody who mm-hmm. is passing. Mm-hmm. I mean, and... When the time...
And you were worried about orbs.
Well, I wasn't worried. I was like, is this... Am I supposed to witness the whole experience?
Right.
How often do you ever get to be there?
Right.
And it was interesting because that was one of grandmother's only desires. She said, I want someone to hold my hand.
Right. Right.
And when the time comes, you don't give a shit. You're just like...
Yeah.
Yeah. You just hold her hand, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad that you were. It was you. I was about 2 minutes behind you. You got there in time.
Well, I was there. No, the story was we were all there. Then we were all together. We were at the nursing home together, and they put us in a different room.
Right.
And while the room was transitioning, you said we were there for days. You know, you're like, I gotta get something to eat, and mm-hmm. you and Dad went out and get some drinks, mm-hmm. like coffee. And
we're just going to go to Casey's.
Yeah, down the street.
Yeah.
And then during that time, she passed.
Yeah, that's usually how it is, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'll wait till they leave.
Exactly.
But you were still there.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
Because I knew that was her goal.
Yeah. Hold her hand.
So once we knew it was going to happen within, I'm going to cry.
That's okay, honey.
It's, the process is such a sweet process.
Yes.
There's no tears of sadness. It's just.
No, I was so relieved. After that, because when you see someone and you presume it's pain, you know,
right.
But I mean, she hadn't been, you know, there for days,
right?
You know, but I was so relieved at that moment,
right?
That I almost felt giddy inside, because you don't want to see someone you love suffer, especially when you know that this is the progression. There's no coming back.
This is it. There's not a recovery. And then, you know, hey, we're going to Disney World.
Exactly. So, yeah, it does bring up moments of it does bring up moments. And it does make us all feel fragile and vulnerable.
And
hold on to every moment.
It does. And I think during these times when it's not, passing is not a tragedy. It's just literally a part of life.
Right.
When someone who's been sick or is older is passing on.
Right.
So there's not that huge energy of big tragedy.
Right.
They're leaving young kids. It's not that.
Right.
It's a lifelong lived. And then, so when I was talking to Deb about this, she said, there are times I look for my dad in the room, because there are times I see my mom reaching for him or talking to him.
Uh-huh.
And so, and then Hillary, who's so analytical, she's like, oh, she's hallucinating. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. But in my mind, I go, I have no idea.
I have no problem.
Yeah, the
that.
Veil is very thin.
The veil is extremely
and
thin.
And so, yes, we can say it's hallucinating, or we can say, you know, the spirit's here. You know, there's a transition, and we're just witnessing something that's going on.
Right.
And we won't know that until it happens.
Right.
Unless our scientific technology gets so
yeah, and it's so
precise
interesting,
that we can
it's
see
so
it all.
Interesting to me, you know, like, that in this, that you don't know that moment.
No.
You know, like I know with my mom, one of the reasons why Norm and I felt like we could run out and get something was that the hospice nurse came in and she said, oh, she assessed the situation and we put her in a different room that had this big picture window that she could just look out at, and it just had this just fields and fields, and there was this big windmill.
Right.
And it was just almost pastoral. It was just bucolic. And it was a beautiful, you know, to me, if you could, you know, see, that would be your. And she said, I'm going to give her some of this medicine. It'll help her. Because then she said, I've seen people like this go 2 weeks.
Right. Yes.
It was painful to hear.
Yeah. But, and we're like, 2 weeks. Wow. I can't imagine.
Yeah. And so that's why I felt that. So they gave her this medicine. I can't remember whatever it was.
Right.
They put it on her lips. And I thought, okay, well, then I can, you know, we can run out there.
Well, and it is interesting because at that time, Greta was on a feeding tube. And so they were still hydrating her and feeding her. And that's not what's going on with Doug's mom. Because she's not able to drink or eat right now.
Oh, she's not.
So there is just this now, you know.
Yeah, she will definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With grandmother, she was able to stay hydrated. And, you know, it was just a different.
Is that purposeful? Do you know what I mean? That they're not hydrating her?
Well, she doesn't want any means necessary to keep her alive, I guess. So they're not giving her IVs.
Right.
And she's, you know, she's kind of into that twilight, so she's not drinking and eating, and she's not, well, at this stage, when I saw her yesterday, so when I saw her on Thursday, she was kind of conscious, but not very, very little. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and, like, I don't think she recognized me. But when her granddaughter came in, her other granddaughter came in, she gave her a big hug.
Oh.
You know, sweet.
Yeah.
But when I saw her twice yesterday, once when I got there, when I left, I thought there was a difference already. When I left, I thought, oh, you know, her part of her face was drooping a little bit, and then the hospice nurse had just left, going, I think she just had a small stroke, and I was like, obvious that this is just, you know, and whatever. But when we watched the Cubs parade and the Cubs thing, taking it back full circle to the Cubs, because this was all it was about, they just kept saying, I can't tell you how many people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s say, when are we going to win?
Right.
Because I'm holding on.
They said, we're doing this for you.
Yes.
We're
doing this for you. You know, I want to live to see the Cubs win. I've done everything else. I just want them to win the World Series.
Yeah. And like they said, you know, in the rally, you know, here's to Mr. Ernie Banks, Mr. Cubs, and
Ron Santos,
who we adored.
He was a man, WGN great, fan. Yeah,
but he just was a great character,
great guy. Yes.
Yeah, and we never forget that that one scene where he had really bad health.
He had really bad type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, and
he lost a leg, and I think he was in the hospital. And I remember this completely because it just always impressed upon me that when I meet somebody, I want to make sure they know that I'm like happy to see them.
Yes, yes.
And because I remember he was on the radio talking during recovery, and he goes, "Hold on a second, everybody." And his grandson came in, and he gave, "Hey, how you doing, sweetie?" And gave his grandson a big hug.
Right.
Some other person could have said, "Okay,
be quiet.
Be quiet. I'm on the radio."
Yeah.
Shh. You know, no. He said to the audience of the radio, you just wait 1 second.
Yeah, because
and I'll tell you,
my grandson came in.
It impressed upon me how it takes nothing,
right?
A 5 second break to show someone you are important to me.
Yeah,
you're important, and I thought to myself, and I do need reminding of that more often, not with my inner circles, but with my secondary circle, or sometimes with people out in the world. I just forget it takes just two beats to be more pleasant.
Yes.
To be more happy. And
just to look someone in the eye.
Yeah. And I remember one time, though, just going back, I was connecting with my banker out in the real world. Like, you know, someone I know my bank I go to. And I said, "Oh," I go, "I always try and say hi to you, but I don't know if you ever recognize me." And she goes, "Oh, I do, but we're not allowed to talk to our customers out in the real world." I'm like,
"Wait, what?
What?" I said, "Well, you have my permission to acknowledge that I'm alive." Okay. I'm like, "What?"
It's not like it's a secret society.
Yeah, it's not like you're my, you know, my gynecologist and we're discussing stuff, you know. So that's kind of, I thought that was really interesting where, like, I've met her. I'm like, "Oh, hi."
No,
I can't respond to you. I'm like, "Oh, okay, that makes no sense." And I'm wondering now if that's just BS.
I think it's just BS.
Like, she just really doesn't want to talk to anybody out in the real world.
I'm not allowed. She should have a card she should give people.
Exactly. So the show tonight has gone from everywhere, and I still want to talk about the Cubs because there are three things that really
my jumpable guys was kind of inappropriate now.
It kind of was, but that's okay.
So everybody just forget about that.
And go to ChristyMarieAngeli.com or buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect, on Amazon. Please support this podcast and radio. Please, please, please.
Or just go to GoFundMe at Julie Peters.
Exactly. first thing I want to say was I felt my intuition was sparked during the World Series.
Yes.
I'm watching, first of all, before the game,
right.
I said, "I just want you to let you know, Mom, it's going to go extra innings." And I knew it was going to go game 7 way before everybody else.
Right.
My feeling is it always goes game 7 for the most part because of the media gods. You know, everybody wants to squeeze out as much money as possible.
Oh, I think it's also that, oh my gosh, that tension.
Oh, yeah. It's just the energy is building so incredibly. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because they played 3 games in Chicago, it went at least that long, but it went 2 more games in Cleveland Indies. Yeah. You know, not me, but Doug, they had season tickets. Kent and a couple of other family members. They made $10,000 off of selling their season tickets.
Right.
$10,000.
Wouldn't that be a nice little present? $10,000 and they win the World Series.
And they win the World Series.
Yeah.
It's like, raise the effing roof, man.
Right, right.
How awesome is that? And so, I was watching and we were ahead only by 2 points at this point in the World Series game 7. And we're going back and forth between the CMAs, which was such a sweet energy CMAs. Because I couldn't stand
Country Music Awards.
Yeah. Doug watched the game with his daughters and his son-in-law, which was great because I needed to watch the game, try and do homework, which I did 0. And I needed to be with Mom and bounce back and forth. Mm-hmm. It was too strenuous. Mm-hmm. I'm texting Greg. He's watching the game. He's pacing. And the CMAs,
having the CMAs on really, really, really helped the tension.
Yes. And what?
And it was so sweet.
So sweet. And such
darling.
Spiritual music.
I know.
And I just like, amen, hallelujah, praise God. You know?
Thank you, 7.5-pound baby Jesus.
Yes. And so those people
Everybody
were going,
was thanking
thank
God.
You, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for this this award.
And, yes.
And I just said, Julie, these are my people.
And everybody had a good time.
No, Mom, these are our people.
They were making fun of every politician, which was wonderful.
Yes.
Because how can you not? And it was just a fun experience going back and forth.
And like they were saying, we just want, we don't really care anymore. We just want it to be over with.
And amen, we all want that. We're all done.
Well, I, it's interesting because I was listening to the Graham Norton show last night, you know. And, you know, that's in England. And I guess in England they have, of course, they think that Trump is extremely funny and a big orange joke, you know.
Right.
And I guess it's very common. They have Trump blow-up dolls, and they're naked.
I'm not sure they're blow-up dolls. I think they're actual statues.
Oh, well.
Oh, are they blow-up dolls?
I think they're blow-up because they're all over.
Okay.
And what the big thing is, you take a selfie of yourself and this naked Trump doll, you're groping Trump.
You're groping Trump.
Yeah, that's the whole dealio, you know.
I mean, how wild is that?
Yeah, that's kind of where, and we have a friend in Montreal, and
they just think we're crazy.
And they think, the Canadians think that, even, you know, we think Canadians are like, about that. We think they're crazy, but they think that.
We all think, and
they think we're crazy.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride because I was listening to this one song. I think it was on The Voice, and then you were channeling to me. Yes, Mom channels also. She's just amazing. And she goes,
"You're welcome."
I think that there's some kind of message for us in this song from Crowded House.
Right.
And she goes, "I don't know what it is." And she goes, "Hey now." And I'm like, "Okay." And I said, and I go, "Oh." And so we went to it, and it was, hey now, don't dream it. So, you know. But anyway, in the words, after listening to it, I really felt that it was about the political culture trying to put walls between us.
Right.
The walls between the United States.
Yes.
And not just walls between us and a different country. No. Trying to separate
us. Walls between us, Americans.
And it's so funny because we all want the same thing.
Right. What was the line that we said, okay, this was what the channeling was about?
They won't win.
That's right.
I go, and that's,
if it was a wall between us, they won't win.
They won't win.
Right.
You know, they're not going to win. They're not going to get us to be mean to each other, to be cruel to each other.
Right.
They're not. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
When this election is over, we're going to choose to just live harmonious because we're still the luckiest people in the world.
Hey now.
You know, we are lucky.
Dream, it's over.
I mean, it's just great.
Yeah.
And I just felt inspired. And it also, because you voted over a week ago.
Hurley.
You haven't been watching CNN as much.
No, I released it.
And we got a lot of shit done this week.
We got a lot of shit done.
And it felt good, and it also felt hopeful.
Yes.
That I believe in my heart that we're going to come together as a country again.
Yes.
And listen, we always have problems because guess what? There's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
You know, healthcare, there's room for improvement. But you know what? The biggest room for improvement is healthcare is effing expensive. You can't walk in anywhere and not drop a grand, it seems like, for any kind of reasonable care.
Right.
And that seems crazy to me.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, so basically, I don't know how to fix healthcare because at the top, at the main point, it's really, really expensive. And, you know, you can go and get cheaper, quote, care initially. Don't go to the emergency room, do stuff like that. But there's no guarantee it's good care. You know, you just never know.
Right.
So I hope that we can work on that. You know, we have a debt problem. We need to work on that. But there, we can always improve. We will always need to improve.
And I think that's why people consider themselves progressive.
Yeah.
Because of the word progress.
Yes.
You hope to make inch by inch, incremental progress, incremental change. That's hopeful.
Well, it was interesting because I watched the I talked about this last time. I was watching that one conference or that one dinner, the Al Smith dinner.
Correct.
And Hillary Clinton said, you know, Al was such a huge populist, and he would just be rolling in his grave to look at all these
plutocrats, right?
And giving money to him,
right?
And I thought that was interesting, and so I had to look up plutocrats. Like, what the hell's a plutocrat? And today, and what a plutocrat is a it's the elite, basically. Mm-hmm. People who have money who to use it to do what they need to get done and so forth like that. But I was today listening to NPR, and they were interviewing this population that will take – that will be the defining factor in the election. And do you know what it is? Middle-class women. Middle-class women.
Is it the they always say white, college-educated women?
Possibly. But they're the ones that are going to decide the election.
Mm-hmm. And I think they use it suburban, white, college-educated women.
And they're not all voting for Hillary. And they're not all voting for Trump. But they all want the same thing. And it was interesting because...
Which is? What do they want?
They say the same thing. Like, they want their country better than what it has been.
Right.
And,
oh my God, that's like Napoleon Hill.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, but because of this wall building, because we're competitors or whatever, or the media or the two parties, they have to have us fighting against each other.
Right.
And there's no need because we all want the same thing.
We all want
the same
thing.
We just are trying to do it in different ways.
Right.
But if you take control of your own little life first and work your way out, it will, everything will get resolved.
Yes.
But we have to have these bigger pictures in play, you know, or whatever.
Right.
However, this one commentary said, it's interesting because there is this growing populist belief out there. And it first went towards the supporting Bernie. And the populist on the Republican side is actually for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Because they believe Trump is going to take care of them and solve their problems because they haven't seen their wages go up.
No.
They are being stretched. And it's interesting because there is this huge amount of people who are self-employed who competition hasn't been working for them.
No.
They've been stuck. And also people who've had very good skills, but in their area have dried up, and they can't. They're now working at.
Well, you know what I'm thinking about as you're saying this. I'm thinking about our handyman.
Yeah,
and he's like, I would think he's a very typical. I'm not even sure if he's a Trump man, but I would say he is. But he's off the grid.
Yeah,
he totally works for himself.
Yeah,
but he's plugged in to our local economy.
Oh, yeah.
In the sense that. And he's willing, like, when he comes over, if he sees something he wants, he'll negotiate with you.
He'll
bargain time for you. And, you know, so I imagine there's a lot of people like that.
Yes. Oh, I totally agree. And so...
I mean, that are kind of under the radar.
Yeah. And they're finding different ways of making it.
And I don't know about... I don't think he has insurance, but he... He's kind of a health nut in the sense that he's always just eats organic and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know?
And as long as nothing quote unquote serious happens to him, he'll be okay.
Right.
There's a lot of people like that out there.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them believe, you know, I don't know. Some people think Hillary's for them, and some people think, you know, Trump's for them.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the thing is, neither one really is for them. Mm-hmm. And
understands them. I mean, I always think, like, how, you know, the you look into the faces of that Trump crowd, and these are hardworking people, and I looked at that man, and I know all the people that he stiffed.
Yeah,
he stiffs the painters, the contractors.
Yeah,
he
may say, well, they've gotten paid some.
Yeah,
they've
gotten pennies paid on the dollar.
Yeah, but not what you would need them to get paid.
Right.
You know, or what you got paid off the deal.
Right.
Now, neither one of the candidates has been. In our situation,
no, like I
for
heard
a very long time.
I saw a transcript of something that Hillary said.
Yeah,
I don't know who she was talking to, but she said, you know, I'm for the middle class. She goes, but it's been so long since I've been middle class, I barely understand it. I'm like,
right,
you know, okay,
Bernie, I think his taxes was he made like $200,000,
right,
which is not middle class. However, it's closer than both Hillary and Trump, who are wealthy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And I you know, talking about this instead of the Cubs makes me feel sad.
Yeah, let's get off it.
Because I want to say this, and Elliot
Hello,
agrees.
Elliot
agrees.
Elliot agrees.
This is crazy. But what I want to say is that we really are in control of our own destiny in this country specifically.
Yes.
And we don't have to buy into that. Whatever happens, we're going to all survive it, and we can choose to thrive in it.
You bet.
Whatever.
You
we
bet.
Can make enough money to take care of our own health insurance. We can we can create enough in our own lives. You know, the people are doing it in different ways. It doesn't matter. All right. We had a little technical difficulty there for a second.
Arf, arf.
That's right. This show is off the rails today. I had a plan. I had my schedule here, and we're not anywhere close to it.
You know what? That's life with the girlfriends.
I told Mom, I said, I don't know. This show is my best hour of my week. I love it. I love hanging out with you. I love hanging out with everybody from Life with the Girlfriends. It's like my best hour of the week.
Same here, honey.
And I just don't even care sometimes if it goes off the rail.
Yes.
Because it's... I do it for us.
It's us.
I don't know. It's like my hour of therapy. I don't know.
Right.
So I know we're supposed to talk about pillar talk, and we're going to kind of move on to it a little bit. I want to say one thing real quick. We don't have any movies this week to review.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Bad Moms was taken. Mother. All of them. All the copies were gone.
Oh, mother. They needed more copies.
Yes.
It looks like a cute movie.
It looks like a cute movie.
So I'm going to
I would have loved to have given some Sherpa hats. Yeah. But
I'm thinking, what would you think you would have given it? 2.5? 3?
I think I would have given it 2.5 Sherpa hats, Julie.
So as we're hoping for next week, hopefully next week we'll be able to share that information.
Right.
So we're going to move on to
I watched Dirk Gently. What kind of detective is he?
Holistic.
He's the holistic detective.
On BBC.
On BBC America.
I love that show.
I do too.
It's kooky and
crazy.
Crazy. And it's just so much my arena of language that I just love talking about the spiritual stuff in the midst. And when you see it happen in reality, you're like, oh, that just looks so crazy.
Exactly.
Okay, so ready to move on to Elliot's Corner?
Okay.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. All right, here we are at Elliot's Corner. Not much to talk about with Elliot this week.
Elliot's our Wheaton Terrier.
Except that we chose, I just want to say I just felt blessed because yesterday.
Gorgeous day.
Gorgeous, beautiful
gorgeous
fall
day.
And his little girlfriend, his human girlfriend, who he just effing adores.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm not that jealous.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous. Linda called me and said, I haven't seen Elliot in so long. Can I borrow your fob to get into the dog park to take all the dogs? I'm like, sure. I'm not home.
Linda has four dogs of her own.
Yeah. And so she took her three big dogs and my dog and in her back of her van and went to Oregon. And it was interesting because I was with Doug and his family and his daughter and her boyfriend has a dog. And I said, Doug, let's go up there quick and we'll bring
Tough.
And we'll make another dog. And so I went up there and I'm glad I did because I was able to help her get the dogs in. And well, actually, she had them all in, which I was surprised. She said she just literally pulled the car up to the door and opened
the
door.
No, she didn't.
She goes, I don't care if they didn't like it or not.
She would do that. She's so ballsy.
She's so ballsy.
She really is.
And
She's just a tough old broad.
Exactly.
I love her.
Yeah. And then I went to Dollar General first because I knew that there was no more water. They turned the water off.
They turned the water off November 1st.
Out.
Yeah.
So I went and got a little bowl and 2 gallons of water for the dogs. Mm-hmm. And I think she was happy about that. And we hung out. And Toph, who's just the littlest dog ever, and she's got some bigger dogs. And she was just right in there in the mix and just had a great time. Just had a great time. But here's the weirdest thing. I didn't tell you this yesterday. So you know how they have like the entrance way to the dog park first,
right?
It's sort of like to get your dog ready to go into the dog park and get you ready.
Have that usually.
Yeah, every place does it. It's smart.
Yeah.
And he never left that. He didn't come into the dog park.
Who, Elliot?
Doug.
Oh, Doug?
Yeah. I thought it was so weird. He never came in. He just kind of hung out in the middle pack section, or I asked him to get my camera and he went and got my camera and then came back and just hung right there, you know? He didn't go in the dog park.
That's weird.
I thought it was weird, too. I'm like, hey, are you okay just hanging out there? And I don't know if he was scared of the dogs or just felt, I don't know. I don't know what the big deal was, but I thought that was very odd. It was almost like he was holding himself back from enjoying completely the moment. Because I remember walking Toph and all the dogs, there were four dogs on one side, which is my clan, you know, and then on the other side, they had four or five dogs. So there were a lot of dogs at the dog park.
Well, it was a perfect day.
Perfect day. Perfect November day. And unless you're like, it's too warm for November. A little bit, but that's okay. Anyway, I'm walking the dog, and this one guy goes, good luck. It's crazy here right now. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, I know, but it's going to work out. So I walked in, and it felt weird because I almost felt like Doug was preventing himself from really experiencing this heavenly moment of five dogs, and then another Shih Tzu came in the mix. Mm-hmm. And so we had six dogs just loving each other.
Aww.
Playing, drinking water,
did you ask
chilling.
Him why at the end, or
oh,
did
no.
he ever?
I don't have any desire.
Why bother?
Yeah, it was funny because we all went out last night. This is just into my relationship with Doug. We all went out for dinner, me and Doug, with his two daughters and their respective others, and his cousin, or his niece and her husband. We all went out to dinner to Mexican food, and we have this new agreement between Doug and I, which is we only going to have one meal and split it because...
Is he too cheap?
It could be that, but mostly I only eat half my meal anyway. I bring it home because I'm always so full and I drink a lot of water at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I'm okay because I never buy it anyway. He's always paying for it. And he's like, do you think we can just get one meal? You know, and I'm like, yeah, that's totally fine. We've talked about this. I'm totally on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's something I thought that you guys would like, then I'm always
thank
like,
you.
No.
Appreciate
but
that.
But Mexican, you know, who wants a soggy burrito?
No. Excuse me? Excuse me?
You'll have a soggy burrito anytime, right?
Are you talking about Joe Madden?
But anyway.
That is one soggy burrito.
You know, Doug was being loud at the restaurant.
Oh, really?
And I have tuned him out.
Yeah.
You know, he gets just, I think he has a hearing loss because he just speaks loud sometimes. But both his daughters were like on his ass. Like, you're talking too loud. Calm down. You know, and it's funny because I'm like that with Dad sometimes.
Yeah.
But
I know you always go, here's your inside voice.
Inside voice, Daddy. Inside voice.
Inside voice.
But I'm not like that with Doug. I'm like, he's not my aunt. Like, yeah. He's a grown man. He can be whoever he needs to be.
You're a grown ass man. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. And so I told Hillary, I said, you know what? He's just worn me down, so I'm not correcting him anymore.
Right.
But I'm glad you're not tired enough to do
this. Oh, good.
I'm like, you're the one that's correcting
what'd
him.
What'd she say?
And she goes, yeah, I've got no problem with this. This is just, I'm just like.
Does he like being the center of attention then?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yes, kinda. It's funny, back to the cubs again. During the parade at the end, when they're all on stage, one of the cubbies took his top off.
And shirtless Wood.
Shirtless. Yeah, Wood.
Shirtless Woody.
Exactly. And I texted Doug, I'm like, WTF, this guy's crazy. Why has he got a shirt on?
And off.
Off. Shirt off. And he goes, well, why wouldn't he? That's what Doug said. And I thought to myself, I texted him back, oh, that's exactly what you would do. You'd have your shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, I probably would. And because I said, he goes.
In the midst of all of this, all the Cubs on stage, Doug would say, look at me.
Look at me. How
look
much
at
attention
me.
Can I get?
How much extra attention can I get? Look at
I'm
me.
I'm taking my top off. And I just, that's exactly
this
what Doug
is. That's no joke, guys.
No. No, it's no joke. But you say it in such a way that...
Because I can say it in that way.
Yes.
You can't.
No, I can't.
So, Jill, what was the upshot of the dog park then?
The takeaway?
The takeaway.
Because we always want to have a takeaway for...
The McNugget.
We can... You know what? To live in the moment.
Yes.
I had no intention of going out to a dog park that day.
Because no, here's his mom.
Yeah.
You
mom,
know, transitioning.
And having that hour and a half, 2 hour break was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Their dog got a workout. It was nice seeing all these dogs frolicking. They didn't care about the election. They didn't care about the Cubs winning. They didn't care about anything. They cared. They were living in the moment. And I'll tell you, the one thing your dog can teach you is how to be living in the moment.
Oh, so true.
And I can take away that for this week for sure.
Yes.
You ready for a little pillar talk?
Uh-huh.
Pillow talk. Wow.
Thank you, Doris.
Another 5-minute pillar talk, which is so
How do we do that?
Well, we talk about life nuggets throughout the whole thing,
because
right?
That's the way we roll.
And at the end,
I didn't
want
to really
say
that. Yeah. I always say, please, Christine, Marie, don't say that's how you roll. But here I did it again.
There
Oops.
You get it.
Oops.
Oops, you did it again. Mm-hmm. Oops, I did it again. Yep. Okay, but anyway.
We did talk about Napoleon Hill a little bit.
Right, because we've been rereading.
We're rereading
Think and Grow Rich. And
you're like, what? That's only 100-something years old. But you know what? There's little nuggets in there.
Okay, and I'm going to be really quick about this, because I've been reading a lot about faith in the Bible. And hearing some preachers talk about faith and the law of attraction study that we've been working on for years, and the spiritual energy connection, and then reading Napoleon Hill, which in his chapters, faith and desire are huge parts. But I'll give you an example. A couple preachers, they would talk about faith, and they would say, your job is not your way to make money.
Right.
It's a way that your job, you have a job to give. And let God provide you the life. Whatever you need, He'll provide you if you have enough faith for that. Mm-hmm. Law of attraction would be, you feel rich, that money has no chance, choice, but to come to you. And then Napoleon Hill goes, that's all true, mixed with a plan. You need a plan to get there.
We're on the plan chapter now.
Yeah, and that plan was seated in there in the beginning. And it's like, here's what money you want. Here's by the date you want it. And here's the plan that you're going to use to get it. And the service that you're going to do in exchange for it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yes, you do need a plan. Mm-hmm. Yes, God can give it to you in crazy ways.
Yes.
But the truth is, if you need to make more money, if you desire more money, start thinking about, well, how can I create more money? Mm-hmm. It's an exchange of energy, of services. And sometimes you have to think a little bit bigger. And if the only way you can, like, let's say the job you're at now does have a finite amount of money that you're going to be making. Mm-hmm. Typically, let's say it's 45 grand a year, but you really do desire more money. And unless you have a plan in place, the only way that money can come to you is through a quote unquote a miracle. I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
No, that's fine. That's fine. You know,
it's just, you need a plan.
You need a plan.
You know, you need another plan.
He calls it, Tony Robbins calls it a map.
Yes, and I think massive action plan.
And then Napoleon Hill calls it a SAP.
Strategic action plan.
So we've got the map and the SAP.
And Mom just has combined it to SMAP.
Yes.
Strategic massive action plan.
SMAP.
SMAP that thing.
SMAP
it. SMAP it.
SMAP out of it.
Exactly. And so I want to tell people today, think about the new year. Let's engage our maps now, our SMAPs now. And the one thing Napoleon Hill said, and I would read this, I go, I wonder if he's the first one who said this quote, or was he using it too? And it's been always in this lexicon, because now it's too old of a quote to use, which is, quitters never win, and winners never quit.
Exactly.
And in the book, Think and Grow Rich, he said, you write that quote
write
down.
Write this quote down and never forget it.
And never forget it. Put it everywhere. And I'm thinking, dude, I know this quote.
But 100 years later,
yeah,
you
we know the
quote.
Quitters never win, and winners never quit.
But he thought it was fabulous.
He thought it was a fabulous quote.
Yeah.
And it is a fabulous quote, because what he says in the book, and I want people to remember this, he says, you know what your goal is. Mm-hmm. If you have a strategic plan and it doesn't work, change the plan.
Change the plan. Don't give up.
The plan.
Don't quit.
Don't quit.
Yeah. He talks about persistence.
Yes. If it fails again, change the plan. If it fails again, change the plan. Why? Because quitters never win and winners never quit.
It's like Edison knew 100 ways not to make a light bulb.
Exactly. And so, hey, once you're on this path, you're on the path to get what you want, mm-hmm. to achieve the level of money that you need to have the life you want to live, mm-hmm. to give the way you want to give. Everybody I know who wants to create more money, there's always that giving component.
Yes.
I give now, but if I could give more, what could I accomplish?
Yes.
I mean, I think about schools needing, you know, computers. You go, wow, how much would I have to make to give them what they need mm-hmm. to get this done?
I know you've always had this. We love to give luggage away to foster children.
Right.
Mm. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Why don't okay. you take that over?
Oh, okay. Right. But then I think to myself, if I could make more, you know, I could give more. And that's how it should be. So
I wanted to say no about the foster kids. Yeah. They need lots of luggage.
Yeah, they do.
Because they typically that's one of the things they don't have.
And also typically they leave it behind sometimes when they move to a different place.
Right.
The luggage is sometimes the last thing that gets taken. It usually goes in a grocery bag and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so for people to have the kids
I just
have their
love
own
that idea.
Yeah. That's people need I mean and a lot of times we don't even know what people need. And if there are needs that we can fulfill quickly and easily without having to have like rules or laws or go through the bureaucracy chain? Of yes. the chain of command yeah, to get right. this done. Hey, what do you need? I really could use 10 pieces of luggage.
Right.
Oh, guess what? I had a good week this week. All
Here
my bills
is.
Are paid.
Right.
I'm going to go buy luggage.
Right.
You know? And you could first go to your Goodwill store.
Right.
And then your Lottic Center.
Exactly.
And take off. And you just do it. And wouldn't that be the way life's supposed to be?
It should be.
You know? And so, and I hope that you enjoyed this hour of talk with
us. We sure did.
We
and
always
wasn't
do.
Wasn't it great?
It was great.